Welcome to Radio Rehab. Here's your host, Dana Keyes.
Welcome to Radio Rehab. I'm your host, Dana, here in studio at a perfectly socially distance is producer Char.
What's going on?
Hey, I think we're like two Joey Ramones away from each other right now. Or no, one Joey Ramone and a half. He was 6'5". So like, just imagine my husband plus half of my husband, and that's where we are.
Yeah,
we're far away from each other.
We're across the room, but very happy to get out.
Oh my God, so happy to get out. Hey, big shout out to everybody in San Francisco taking a jog down the Embarcadero right now, not wearing a fucking mask. Oh my God. Sorry. I'm trying not to get angry, but when I drove here, that's all I saw. Nobody's wearing a mask. And then they insult Tennessee and southern states. But here we are in San Francisco and people aren't wearing masks.
But we did kind of crush the curve, though. That's what they said.
Oh, we totally did. And I ordered from the Hard Times News, which is the greatest periodical ever, even though it's, you know, kind of like The Onion. I ordered a new Minor Threat punk rock face mask. So I have that.
You have your mask.
I have my mask.
Did you wear it when you walked up the hill?
I sure did.
Did you really?
Yeah, I totally did. I totally did. And of course, I wheezed because I was a smoker for a long time.
See, I know that the masks are mandatory in the Bay Area now.
Yeah.
I wear my mask when I go into buildings with other people.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, you shouldn't wear them in your house by yourself.
No, that no. What I'm saying is, like, if I'm walking down the street, I guess if I was walking down the Embarcadero, I might wear it. But like when I'm like when I left the car to come into the building, or when I'm leaving a parking lot to go to, like, if I'm like just taking short distances, I tend not to wear my mask.
I mean, I wouldn't want to either, but like, I think our governor made it a thing. So now I'm just doing it to be like, hey, I'm doing it.
But then, and then you're yelling.
I don't want to be scoffed upon. Also, it's Ramadan right now and there are people wearing burqas and it's like, oh, there's no way I'm going to be the one asshole like with their face not covered.
Is that why you're hungry?
Because it's Ramadan? Oh, said you to the Jew. No, what? No, no. God, I mean, I might as well be because I can't cook or eat and I'm just eating frozen burritos and it's like, I feel like I'm fasting, but no, I'm not. And there's no religious thing happening for me right now. It's just, I'm happy for them though and I hope they're having a nice Ramadan.
Outside of that, how you doing?
Oh my God. You know, I'm okay. I'm a little bit insane. It's just, yeah. It's like, I was telling somebody who is not in recovery, who I work with in radio, that it's like, yeah, I go from being like, oh my God, I want to drink. This is fucking awful. To, yeah, no, I'm cool. I'm just going to go to some online meetings. It's back and forth. But I mean, it hasn't hurt me in any way.
Yeah,
I haven't acted on it, but yeah, I'm a little crazy some days.
Yeah, you're just a little. I was gonna say punch drunk, but I don't know if that's a good.
I don't even know what that means. I thought that meant like in love or something, and that ew. I hate love.
You're basing it on the movie Punch Drunk Love,
exactly, because my husband likes to watch rom coms.
But punch drunk is you're. I don't know if I'm gonna have the exact...
like super excited to be outside.
Well, probably like that. Well, no, like when you're getting kind of when you're getting kind of goofy, you know, you're just kind of like,
dude. When I was driving here, I was like, oh my God, I'm in the car. There's no traffic. I'm listening to music. This is fucking great. Yeah, like I got super stoked. I didn't want to get out of the car.
Should be doing this more often, I guess.
I know. Well, yeah, it did. It today made me happy just being in the car and driving around listening to music.
Why don't you get out and just drive around?
Oh, I do. I do, but I only do when I have to talk to my sponsees because my husband works from home and I can't, like, have a conversation with them inside the house. I can't do it in the hall either, you know, because we live in a building in San Francisco. So I have to go get in my car. And then when I get in my car and drive out and then I hear the music, I'm like, oh. But, yeah, I still call my sponsees. And it's like, okay, what's really funny is how much gas I've wasted just driving around for like a few blocks. Like, okay, I've talked to my sponsees, I've talked to my sponsor, and now I'm just going to listen to some punk rock music. And yeah.
Does that make you feel better though?
It like, sure fucking does. Yeah.
So, I mean, like.
Music in the car. Hell yeah. The best.
I mean, well, why don't you just make that your exercise? You go out for a walk every day or something.
Well, I mean, that's not going to do anything for my butt.
But you,
my butt looks very sad and 40 years old right now. When I get out of the shower, my butt goes, oh, it used to be like, hey, look at you. You're squatting with 180 pounds on your shoulders and you're hardcore. And now my butt looks like, I'm so sad. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. No, because, and I'm not going to send you a picture.
No, please, even, no.
I know. Would you like a picture of what my butt looks like when it's sad?
No, I'm probably going to get it now.
You're totally getting it now. You shouldn't have said anything.
In the past, you've said that you don't, it's more about the routine of actually going out and working out.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, and that's what's so cool about the conversation we had with Brandon Novak and Vicky the other day on the show is how routines are what keeps us sober. And I have no routine right now. Like, that's why rehab is so great, because you get up at 6 a.m. Or if you're me, you get up at 6:59 and you eat breakfast really quick and then you don't take a shower. I mean, because I've always kind of been a slacker. I'm not kind of. I've always been a slacker. I know. I'm like, why do I say kind of? Why do I throw that in there? But seriously, it's like I have no routine right now and nothing to base my life upon except that I go, hey, I'm going to get out of bed by noon. I will feel bad if it's 2 p.m. If it's not, I'm not going to feel bad. That's not good. It's not good. I still go to meetings, you know, on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking care of myself and stuff like that. But exercising is super hard for me to do at home. I don't know how.
That's what I'm saying. Go out for a walk. Put your mask on. You have your new Hard Times mask.
That's right. I have my new Hard Times News mask. Thank you.
Walk to the Embarcadero.
TheHardTimesNews.com.
Walk all the way down to the Embarcadero. Look at those people. Scream at them. And then come back. And then you're done for the day.
Because it's a Minor Threat punk rock mask. So I could just scream some Minor Threat song at them. And then
don't
run back.
Don't throw your blueberries at them or anything. But
oh, you remember that. I hadn't been to a meeting in like 2 weeks when I threw blueberries at somebody. Let's just. I'm so glad you remember that. So embarrassing.
Drugs.
Yeah, I remember that actually. My sponsor does too. She brings that up. I'm like, oh. No, but we had a really great show. You know, the reason I think the last show was so great is because I have met in my incarnation of recovery so many people who do not give a shit about you. They take your parents' money, is what they do, and then they cast you off. And you're done. And that doesn't matter. And nothing that happens to you after they get their money for putting you in treatment means anything. Mm-hmm. But Vicky and Brandon, oh my God, these are people who care. Like, they care and they stay in touch with you. These are actually recovered addicts. You know, there's Vicky with like 23 years, and there's Brandon, and he'll have 5 years in May. These are just amazing people that I aspire to be like. And that whole episode reminded me of why I'm friends with Vicky. It was like everything Brandon said, I was like, that is why I'm friends with Vicky, because she's such a badass. Like, it makes me want to get back into recovery. That's the thing. That episode made me want to get more hardcore into recovery.
Well, I mean, also, when you think about it, it's like, the stuff that you see on TV when it comes to, like, interventions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, it's like some clinical doctor that's just like, hey, how do you, I'm just basing it on what I've seen on television, right? And I have no idea how close or far away those scenarios are to what really happens. I know you've had that happen to you.
Multiple times.
Even in your dreams.
That wasn't a dream. That was a hallucination.
The thing about them that makes it, and it's almost like what happens here on this show, is you guys have lived it. You've mm-hmm. experienced it firsthand. So, you know, nobody can call bullshit on you guys. And so And so you also know that struggle of having to go through what these people are going through.
Right.
And like you could talk to, you know, our audience because you were like, there's nothing that you guys would have done that would surprise me or I know, you know, like, or be embarrassed. There's nothing for you to be embarrassed about because,
right.
you know, I got you.
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
what
totally.
I mean? And with Brandon and Vicky, it's just like, dude, Brandon was on Jackass. You know what I mean? And it's like, and you know, Vicky, she's been clean for 23 years. You can't, it's like, it's almost like your sponsor where it's just like, well, you
can't touch that.
You can't say anything. You know, you can't, I know what you're going through and my chess pieces will be yours.
Exactly. And I think a lot of it has to do with the gratitude. Like, on the 22nd, when my Aunt Conky, the love of my life, turned 65 years old, my sponsor turned 31 years old. And I mean, not in years, but right. in sobriety. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
yeah 31 motherfucking years sober. And like, what a beautiful day. And then I sent her a text and I'm just like, you know, thank you for being part of my life. And I sent her a sober birthday. And all her response was, I am so grateful that you came into my life and decided to hang out with me that day and keep me sober. I cried. I cried for like 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, my God, dude, that level of gratitude is just it's beautiful. Like, that's what recovery's. I know. Like, that's what recovery is all about. It's like just gratitude. And that's why people like Vicky stay sober for so long. It's because all they do is help other people and they're grateful for it. And that's what step 12 is about. You know, if people don't know what step 12 is, well, you can look it up because I'm not going to like, you know, go through the steps and everything. But I'm just saying, yeah, it's helping another addict or alcoholic.
So let me ask you this. It's like for you. Are you going to have to, like, repeat those 12 steps over and over again?
You know
to
what?
Get to that, to get
I
to,
want to.
To get to that peak? You know,
I hope so.
To climb that mountain?
Is I
that,
want to.
But is that what's required of you to do it?
I don't think it's required, but it's something that everyone I look up to does. Like, everyone I respect and look up to, they do those 12 steps, you know, once a year. They just keep doing it. Of course, out of the 12 steps, the only ones you actually have to work are like, you know, 4 and 5 and 8, 9, 10 mm-hmm. every year. You know, I mean, unless you forget that you're powerless, that you have to work the whole thing over again. But it's like, yeah, I love working the steps again. And I would love to work them again as many times as I can until they start working me. Because, yeah, that's
I guess, I mean, like, yeah.
It's the beauty.
It's just like, how do you, it's like, it's almost like, how do you get there? And maybe
yeah,
that's, and that's the thing is maybe that's one of the things is like, we have somebody like Vicky on where we really, because we never really get that deep with Vicky. Vicky always is great about coming on the show and bringing some friends on.
It's so funny, yeah, when you hear what they say about her and you're like, dude, that's why she's awesome.
It's like, but, you know, like, we know Vicky on a personal level and, you yeah. know, and all the things that she's done, but we've never, I don't think we've really truly sat down with her and really went, dude, how did you really get here?
Right.
You know?
That's right.
That's
I know.
That's a great story.
That is a great story, and we should have her back on the show. I mean, she's busy saving people's lives, but it's like, yeah, she also saved mine, you know, twice. So
well, that's how
yeah.
I knew her. You were being shipped off to the mountains of Sonora.
And I thought they said Sonoma, damn it.
Hence,
I tried to take
you a cab. Called me?
Oh, no. I called you from there?
Yeah, you were on your way up there.
Oh, no.
Well, no. It was, do you remember? You don't remember?
No. Here's a new fucking story. Are you serious?
No. You were on your way there. It was one of the last times I heard from you.
Oh, dear.
And it was like it was one of those radio silence ones where you were just like you called me up and you go, I don't know if it was a call or a text, but specifically the words are, Char, I love you. You're one of the loves of my life. I'll call you when I'm back. And then that was it.
I must say that's before. I mean, you are, but I don't talk like that when I'm fucking not loaded.
Like, that, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, we're looking at this and like, what the hell is wrong with her?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, if you guys know, if you listen to this show, you know what kind of relationship we have. We're very much.
We're radio married.
radio married sibling sisters, like, but we're just dorky, you know. We're not we don't
say I love you often.
Yeah,
we just know we do,
right? Like, we just, that's just how it is. So it's so funny that you were just like, I was like, what are you? You don't talk like this. What the hell? And then I was just like, all right. And then I didn't like hear from you for like a year or something like that. It was like, I'll call you back when I'll call you back in 10 minutes.
And I'll call you when I'm stateside. And then 5 years later, like, what the fuck? Was she in Afghanistan?
No joke. That's kind of what happened.
That's pretty much what happened.
We're kind of pressed for time today. I happen to be in the city. And I had to check on the studio because I haven't been here for a month.
Yeah, so, it looks good.
So while I was here, or when I knew I was coming here, I told Dana, I was just like, hey, get out of the house and let's do it face to face as opposed to doing it on Zoom or Squadcast like we have been.
Yeah.
So here we are. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. We're not going to be able to talk about Ozark, but that's going to take a whole episode.
No, that's a whole fucking episode, and it's a whole episode about our text about Ozark. So next week's weekly roundup will be Charlene and I talking about Ozark and how I fucking ruined it for her. And by the way, next week's episode will contain spoilers.
Yeah. So if you want to
deal with it,
if you want to be caught, catch up on Ozark by next Friday, if you will.
Please. Yeah, please do. If you want to be involved in this podcast, catch up on Ozark by next Friday. And if you want to be involved in our conversation, how about this? You text us 415-496-9511, even when we're not in studio, or you can email radiorehab@gotoproductions.com. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, it's @Radio Rehab Dana. Thank you for listening. Keep coming back.